Hello and welcome to our annual roundup of the best of the news quiz. This year we're able to bring you a whole century's output from Britain's best-loved topical radio panel game. And we begin, as we always do, with a clipping. This one read by Peter Donaldson.
A woman who phoned Sussex Police Call Centre in Brighton to say she'd found a hole in the road was put through to the Lost Property Department.
Just 12 months ago, the entire British establishment set off for the Millennium Dome and wound up stranded at Stratford East Tube Station. Then the dome seemed astonishing, marvellous and pregnant with possibilities. Unlike Sherry Blair, who amazed the nation by being just pregnant.
Which QC was certainly expecting the government not to leave parents in the lurch?
Shree Booth. Top Scouse brief, Shree Booth. Who apparently... I love that she was shocked. Oh, my God, I'm pregnant, I don't believe it. My God. Not to give up the bar and everything. My dad will kill me, I don't believe it too. No, my God. He's not going to be a new man dad at all. He's going to be rubbish because he's not going to take any time off. But do we want a completely tired and irritable man running the... Well, he looks like somebody with a young baby already, doesn't he? He looks like he gets no sleep and there's a faint smell of vomit about him. But I read that the public likes the idea of him changing nappies in one opinion poll, but I think the baby would be disappointed because the baby initially would be really pleased its nappy would change, and after a little while it would start to think that the nappy was just as crappy as it was before.
You'll see this stuff in the papers that Tony Blair is the most popular Prime Minister this century, and I just think, all right, okay, but then in that case, who do you know who likes him? He's the most unpopular, most popular person there's ever been. I think he's like one of these irritating people you get at a party that nobody gets rid of him because everybody thinks he's someone else's friend.
The staff at the hospital are said to be really excited about the upcoming birth, as they reckon that about the time Cherie starts screaming for anaesthetics, it might be just the moment to ask Tony about those pay rises he promised her.
It's a nice touch, actually, they've named him Leo after the Lion King, which I think is...
I had a tenor on Lionel. Yeah.
Lionel Blair.
No sense of humour, those Blairs. Yeah.
Well, did you see that statement that Cherie put out immediately afterwards, saying she hadn't remembered what an ordeal Labour could be? obviously, he hasn't spoken to Frank Dobson lately. Tomorrow. Oh,
Frank Dobson. You can't resist saying poor old in front of that name, is it? It's like Jack Straw's trying to persuade us to say bogus in front of asylum seeker. Poor old Frank Dobson. He's been told that he'd do better if he shaved his beard off. Well, I don't know if anyone's clamouring to see any more of his face, are they really? I don't know if they're so desperate now, because Ken's so far ahead in the polls, they probably think, well, if he shaves his beard off, some confused voters might think he's Ken Livingstone and vote for him.
The papers had a computer-enhanced, and God knows he needs it, computer-enhanced picture of Frank Dobson without his beard. And he looked completely plucked. It's got an extraordinary... It's like a melon. It's this huge head.
Yes, his face looks the same.
Much better with a beard.
Each way up, doesn't it?
Captain Birdseye. The trouble is that he encouraged this story because he thought by saying, and I'm not going to shave off my beard, he would seem tough and independent. Whereas people really thought, what on earth are those people doing? What on earth are they talking about him?
Well, it's like, they imagine there's something under it. It's like an advent calendar or something. It's a little robin on a log or something.
Alan, your piece of music. Anne Widdecombe reacting to the latest news about asylum seekers. But not really, because the question is, Alan, which king of the swingers never quite reached the top, but had to stop nonetheless?
Well, this is very sad. I mean, it's Heather who's leaving politics to spend more time with his money. He's, he is a little infirm, a little older, a little greyer, and therefore unable to
knife anybody in the back of the younger Swisher people, now that William has got his brown belt and all the rest of it. Don't ask how his belt got brown, but that's hay for you. No, it's today's, or yesterday's, or 3 days ago, if you're listening to the repeat, or if it's the millennium edition next time, 1,000 years ago. Michael Heseltine left politics. And politics is the poorer for it.
Michael Ray Dibden Heseltine announced his retirement as an MP on the Today programme on Thursday morning. And you may wish to know that an anagram of Michael Heseltine is, elect him, he's alien. Andy, who got into a bit of a jam at the WI?
Well, I think this is a shocking story, because yet again, the good name of this great country of ours has been dragged through the mud by mindless yobs in the WI. We were listening to a speech by the Prime Minister, and the good form, when the Prime Minister is boring the arse off you, is just to sit there and pretend you're listening. But no, they jeered and they heckled. Scones were thrown at one stage, apparently, and they gave him a dreadful doing over, basically. Poor old actually, Tony's not very good at handling hecklers, is he? He was reduced to a sort of rictus smirk. And it's a rather... I suppose the problem is you can't come back with one-liners to little old ladies, can't you? You can't say, shut up, you bastard, in the front.
Well, he was shafted by the Redwood factor. He couldn't do the first verse of Jerusalem. He could do the second verse. He could do Chariots of Fire, because he'd seen the film. But he couldn't get going, and there he was. You could see his tonsils, and the smile was going up and down. No words were coming out.
Now,
he put them off.
It was actually at that point I knew he was going to have trouble when they started singing the Fat Les Euro 2000 song.
Yeah.
I thought, they're obviously jarred up.
Yeah.
But it seems
I don't think they should travel into Europe, you know.
Cage these animals. Jack Straw has sent their photographs to every police force in Europe now. ladies in hats and Sue Ryder dresses, they'll be looking out for them. It was bewildering, the speech. He said, my generation is at the intersection between the old and the new. Isn't every generation? We're somewhere between the past and the future. And the other one was, he said, he would have no truck with old-fashioned egalitarianism, but he believed passionately in equal opportunities for all. And I looked up egalitarianism. It means equal opportunities for all. Just gibberish.
But it was all totally unspun. I mean, nobody helped him at all. John Prescott, going into number 10 and asked what he thought about it. He said, I loved the calendar. There's this terrible image of this fat slob while his wife is down the hairdresser with the WI, octogenarian calendar. Terrible when they're off message, when they're let off the rope.
One Labour spin doctor claimed the heckling had been organised by what he called the WI's provisional wing. Accusation proved all too true with the discovery of a cache of jam-making equipment at a secret dump in Tunbridge Wells.
I'm inconsolable. I was a very good friend of Jordan. He was probably the greatest basketball player this country has ever seen, said Mariah Carey on being told of the death of King Hussein of Jordan.
This year we learned that, in his youth, William Hague liked nothing better than sinking 15 pints in a night, plus rum and black chasers. With the Tory leader barely capable of crawling up to the porcelain bus and Tony Blair sleepless from nights up with young Leo, at times we wondered who could be running the country. Not, of course, the monarchy, which, as ever, had a pretty up-and-down year. Alan, who got into a right royal barney over GM Foods?
This is Duke of Edinburgh, who talk about hostages to fortune. He said that genetically modified foods wouldn't do half as much damage as the grey squirrel, which was an exotic foreign animal that came here and ruined everyone's lives. And he speaks as he knows. And he's much more worried about the grey squirrel, which is getting into his muesli and interfering with his rapeseed. And he's said that he's all in favour of genetically modified foods, mainly because Prince Charles is totally against them. And Edinburgh and Anne, indeed, see eye to slitty eye on this. So the pair of them think the countryside should be given over to chemicals.
To be fair to Prince Philip...
He was a mate of yours, Alan. Didn't you go to his birthday party?
Yes,
you slept in his bed, probably, yes. On one of your travels, yes. I bet. His actual quote was that the grey squirrel does more damage than potatoes. I think that's hard to argue with.
Well, potatoes don't dig up my crocuses every year.
And potatoes don't terrorise red squirrels, do they?
Or nick your video?
Yeah. Great squirrels nicked my video.
Really?
It's buried in the garden under a tree. What is the point of that?
A red squirrel could be terrified by a potato.
That's the trouble with red squirrels. They're a bit feeble, aren't they? They need to be a bit feistier. I think psychologically in their head, they'd already lost the battle.
Yes, they got eaten. This is always a bit of a disadvantage in the squirrel survival business. The grey squirrels ate them. So the red squirrels didn't have much to say about it. Because they were inside the grey squirrels by the time the first battle was over.
That sort of talk helps Jerry. That's defeatism of the worst kind.
I'd like to know what video the squirrels buried, please. You remember? It was a video cassette. It wasn't your whole video, was it? It was the VCR. They didn't rip the whole thing out.
Look, all I'm saying is that's what I said on the insurance form. Can we just leave it at that? Should have never mentioned it. And there was a camera as well with that video and...
Hattie, who might not know much about art, but knows what one likes.
Oh, the Queen's opened the new Tate Gallery. Last time she went there, it was an old boiler room or something. But now she's gone and opened it as a thing. She seems to spend more of the time looking out the window. And I saw it on the news on the telly. They kind of pushed her past the Lucian Freud nudes and went, oh, lovely view of St. Paul's. And it went, oh.
Is it with her? She can't wait to open things, couldn't she? The bridge is not finished. And all the bills are, oh, what's she doing here? She wants to open. It's not ready, is it? Oh. We'll get some bunting and stuff for her, you know. Somebody knock up a plaque with a breeze block and a chisel. Come on. She's like a bull at a gate. She can't wait. Hey, won't you open something today? People have to shut down branches of Iceland so she can reopen them again. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Probably a lot more fun for her going around a gallery of modern art, though, because when she goes around a traditional art gallery, she presumably goes around going, yeah, I've got one of those. And oh, look, there's Grandad. My Queen impression was no better than Jeremy's. Sorry, Mum.
You ought to feel sorry for her, though, because her whole life has been ruined by Tony Blair, because he just tells her what to do the whole time, because he's so much posher than her. She's hoovering all morning when he comes to the palace. Oh, blimey, the kids will be taken into care.
The Newlyn trawler St. Clair netted an unusual catch last week when she hauled up the head of an elephant. At almost the same time, a Grimsby trawler working off Flamborough Head fished up an elephant's torso. George Lacey, skipper of the St. Clair, said there was nothing to relate the two catches.
The year 2000 saw lots of new talent appearing on the show, including Hattie Heyridge, who you just heard there, and Rebecca Front, who arrived at the Radio Theatre to discover that my job had been taken over for a week by Frances Wheen.
Right, in a shameless Hansi Crondy-style thing to break the deadlock, I'll give a bonus point to anyone who can tell me who that was. It is a Hansi Crondy thing, isn't it?
I must say,
they just
Francis,
want money, they won't answer
it. What a supply chairman. Yeah. It's quite bold to try and start tampering with the basic premise of the game.
Don't say anything, we'll lose a point. He's got that Irving look in his eye.
Well, someone's got to nose ahead.
You could get a point for telling us who that was.
This is a very good point. That was Billy Fury singing Run to My Lovin' Arms.
All right, ask me the question.
All right, why is the bedroom the best place to train for the marathon?
I don't know, but Rebecca's just written down sex before marathon. Yeah. Makes me think confectioners are getting very demanding these days. Is it to do with the London Snickers?
Yeah, London Marathon. This
Rebecca
knows.
You know, don't you?
Well, I think it's a report that, in fact, my father would be very interested in because he ran the marathon some years ago. And apparently, if you have sex the night before, I really wish I hadn't brought my father into this. Forget I mentioned my father. If you have sex before running a marathon, the night before running a marathon, apparently it can make you up to 14 minutes faster. However,
doing what?
If you have if you have sex during the marathon, then clearly that can add on, you know.
I think
well,
sex
probably
instead
30
of the
seconds
marathon,
or something.
Really. It'd be better, wouldn't it?
You run a faster marathon if you have sex the night before.
I don't know, don't blame me. Apparently, yes.
Are you is that if you're itching or something?
It may affect the style of your running, but yeah, no, it does. Apparently it speeds you up. So I'm told.
What is the point of the marathon? If people want to go running, why can't they go running in their own neighbourhood in their own time? Why do they have to turn up at the same time as everybody else who happens to and say, oh, I'm doing it for charity? You're not doing it for charity. You're doing it for yourself because you want people to like you. Because you happens that you are capable of running for a very, very long time, which I'm sorry to Rebecca's father, but it's a completely pointless thing to be able to do. It's just not needed to be able to run that far. If you were escaping from somebody, they'd have given up after 2 or 3 miles.
Rebecca, which year was it that your father ran the marathon?
Just a question.
Not last year?
No.
It's a bit bloody unfair, that's the question.
Jeremy, your question. What is your name?
I was thinking you must be a bit noisy in the stables the night before the Grand National.
Encyclopedia Britannica, full set. Not needed due to husband knowing everything.
Millennium Year turned out to be a time of great social and political upheaval, with anti-capitalist riots in Seattle and Westminster. Red Ken, once regarded as a crazed, newt-loving trot, was reborn as the first elected mayor of London. There were the fuel protests, and a nation mourned when Liz Hurley split up with Hugh Grant. But our panel had even weightier matters than that on their minds.
Clive, listen to this.
You don't look different, but you have changed. I'm looking through you. You're not the same. Yeah, maybe you changed.
It's a bit modern for Clive, that.
Clive, why might the latest development in medical technology prove a little hard to swallow?
Oh, yes. This is bizarre, isn't it? This has been developed at the Royal London Hospital. And if they need to give you an internal examination now, instead of having to swallow something nasty like a tube and lights shining down it, you can now just swallow a little pill with a tiny little camera inside it. And it just sort of films all your insides, all your guts and your stomach and your colon and your cecum and your all that stuff.
What?
But the only difficulty is, of course, you've got to...
Cecum?
Yes. Cecum, yeah.
Yes.
It's Cockney rhyming slang.
All that. It's all there in your alimentary canal. It's elementary, my dear.
Along and with your Ventine.
Yes, and you swallow it. But the
and your Milligan.
The difficult... that's a cecum.
What's a cecum?
The only difficulty is you've also got to swallow the cameraman who operates it, which is...
Not for the first time, either.
And this is a marvellous development in medical science, and it's a great leap forward.
And it's going to make up most of the ITV schedules on Saturday evenings.
By a freak coincidence, the first person to swallow this is going to be Carol Vorderman, because there's not quite enough of her on the television yet. And I think you'll find all that's correct, even notwithstanding barracking from my own team captain.
Well, they will. They'll have through the keyhole surgery with Lloyd Grayscale saying, whose bowels are these?
Yes, I suppose it's as well to be the first person to use this because you're on a waiting list at a hospital in 9 months' time. It'll have seen a bit of action, won't it?
You've drawn the short straw if you're the one that has to take them down to Boots for processing.
It arrives at your Boots for processing. I hope that's right. I haven't just made all that up in some bizarre dream.
No, large parts of it are almost correct.
Alan, who's been accused of pandering to their charges' sexual needs?
Yes, there's an attempt. There's always an attempt to save the giant panda. I remember Ted Heath brought one over to breed with, or something like that, long time ago. And it wasn't really good for either of them. They're giving pandas Viagra, which is a wonderful, wonderful thought.
Yes. I think the female pandas try a bit too hard, end up looking a bit tarty with all that eye makeup. Men prefer a more natural look, I think, really. There's a list of things they tried giving them different environments, and one was letting them watch television.
Mm-hmm.
When has that ever helped anyone have sex? Nodding off in front of Newsnight.
I don't know, that Kirsty Walk's rather a foxy lady.
Like you or the panda talking.
Attractive to the older man.
Maybe that pandas don't engage in normal practices to mate. It's just occurred to me to wonder why they've got two black eyes. But I don't want to go on with that joke. Yes. Oh, Jeremy, you're with me. God bless you.
Creatures of habit, though, aren't they? They only eat one thing. Don't just eat bamboo. Nothing too spicy. Just the bamboo. Oh, no sex now. I'm going to be up early. Got a bamboo to eat tomorrow. Oh, I don't know where the days go. Of course, that was when China was China.
A man who exposed himself in an Aberystwyth town centre car park during the early hours of Saturday is being sought by the police. The incident occurred at 1:20 a.m. in the Pay and Display car park.
Jeremy, who caused the fur to fly as they hammed it up for the in crowd?
Is this the Jeeves and Hawks hamster coat? Oh, this is... I mean, I don't know if anyone's got a big thing about hamsters' rights, but, I mean... Basically, Jeeves and Hawks have been making little tiny coats out of hamster pelt. Well, they're quite big coats, so you get a lot of hamsters, stitch them all together, kill them. They're reared on hamster farms. It's all very humane, and their cages are dealt with as sweetly as possible by the Conservative Party. And they're raised on these farms, and then they're killed humanely. I don't know how. I guess the farmer just goes away for the weekend and asks a neighbour to look after them. Comes back, and miraculously, all the hamsters have died. And then they hollow them out. I don't know how you do that. Make a hole in one end and blow. I suppose it's got a hole in it. Crochet hook could probably do it. Crochet hook and a firm grasp. And then they flatten them using some kind of pelt flattening iron. And then stitch them all together and put them on a catwalk model. And they retail at Jeeves and Hawks for lots of money.
Andy, where will cranberries and canaries be on the menu for next season?
Oh, yes, this is Delia Smith. Delia Smith is putting more time into the Canaries, which is, as I'm sure the audience know, the nickname of Norwich City, because they play in yellow and green, not because they used to work down mines. Although they play like a gas canary sometimes.
Is your shirt somebody's away strip, Andy?
No, he sold the caravan and kept the curtains.
Can I just say, I think that's rather in, don't you? I think the people at home probably be a bit irritated to have jokes about a shirt they can't see. It's just a little bit on the festive side. And I got dressed in the dark, that's all. Bloody
chill.
Well, hang on a second. What's that tie? Pink shirt, flowery tie, man, started on my dress sense. But anyway.
That's it for this week, but before I head off home, desperately hoping that the Christmas presents I ordered off the internet last August have finally arrived, here are some of the team's own favourite cuttings of the year.
A pilot frightened the life out of his passengers when he emerged from the cockpit wearing dark glasses and led by a guide dog. I shall explain. The incident took place on a flight from San Francisco. An eyewitness said, by the time we took off, there'd been a 45-minute delay. Then, unexpectedly, we stopped in Sacramento on the way. Everybody got off the plane except one gentleman who was blind. The pilot approached him and said, Keith, we're in Sacramento for almost an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs? Keith replied, no thanks, but maybe my dog would like to stretch his legs. All the people in the gate area looked up and saw the pilot walk off the plane with the guide dog. The pilot was wearing sunglasses. People scattered in all directions. They not only tried to change planes, they were also trying to change airlines.
Truly.
The Brecon and Radnor Express. A man who was due to appear at Brecon Magistrates Court at 10 a.m. on Monday failed to arrive until noon. The reason was, as explained by his defence solicitor, the security company bringing him got to Bristol but have rung to say they can't find Wales.
Linda.
Woman's battle with beetle leaves husband battered. An Israeli woman's battle with a stubborn cockroach landed her husband in hospital with severe burns, a broken pelvis and broken ribs, the Jerusalem Post reported yesterday. The wife stamped on the insect, threw it in the toilet and sprayed a full can of insecticide on it when it refused to die. Her husband later threw a cigarette end into the bowl, igniting the insecticide fumes and seriously burning his sensitive parts. Then two ambulance men, shaking with laughter at the incident, dropped the stretcher down the stairs, causing the other injuries.
Simon, this is from last Saturday's Times. Trainees at the Royal Navy's premier gunnery school have been ordered to shout out bang instead of firing live ammunition in an attempt to save the Ministry of Defence money. Gunners say that the ruling, which will save £5 million over 3 years, is turning the Navy into a laughingstock and could affect performance in action.
Two pet tortoises were blamed for a fire yesterday which destroyed a vicar's home in Hartlebury, Worcestershire. Firemen believe the tortoises, Turtle and Babs, knocked over a lamp, starting the blaze, in which 5 gerbils died. The tortoises escaped. Tortoises.
A dog which won first prize for keen intelligence and unquestionable obedience in Shendai, Japan, turned out to be stuffed. Of course the dog's obedient, it's dead, explained a furious runner-up. But the dog's owner refused to return the £1,000 prize, insisting nobody said the pets had to be alive. The News Quiz of the Year, Part 1, was presented by Simon Hoggart, with Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith, Francis Ween, Clive Anderson, Rebecca Front, Tony Hawkes, Hattie Hayridge, John O'Farrell, John Sargent and Mark Steele. The newsreaders were Corey Caulfield, Peter Donaldson, Brian Perkins and me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson, Simon Littlefield and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.